industry, and health insurance, pharma lobbyists who've been hired at the Department of Health and Human Services to work under Tom Price.
John Perdue?
John Perdue was not a lobbyist, I believe. He's been hired at the Treasury Department. He's a guy who, frankly, has worked for a sort of fringe think tank, written for Breitbart. There's several people.
Inventor of a survivalist tool called the PacBo.
That's right. He actually appeared on a CNBC reality show called Make Me a Millionaire Inventor. According to the website of the PacBo, which describes him as an expert in guerrilla warfare, His study of quote unquote societal collapse led him to invent this bow and arrow in which you can also have store your water purification tablets. Has a lot of other functions. We're not quite sure what he's doing at the Department of Treasury, but there's some interesting characters.
The high school student in New Hampshire.
Many former Trump campaign staffers. This one gentleman, his name is Danny Tiso, has been hired at the Department of Labor. Seems to have graduated from high school just in 2015, then went to work for the Trump campaign. To be fair, it's not unusual for administrations to bring in people who worked for the campaign, but the Trump administration has brought in many more of these people for these early hires.
Well, I'm going to ask you to stay during this snowpocalypse, and we'll do a post show and post online at democracynow.org, and we're just going to go through some of the names of the people who have been chosen, because they don't have to be approved by Congress. Justin Elliott, reporter at ProPublica, will link to your pieces. Meet the hundreds of officials Trump has quietly installed across the government. That does it for the program. We have an amazing group that came in on this snowy day. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gutesdiener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Hani Massoud, Trina Nadura. Thanks so much to Julie Crosby and Paul Huckabee. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, car of teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk in private. Okay, now that we're alone, what's with your friend's driving? Is he always this reckless? You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. Driver, just so you know, we're totally not talking about you. He suspects nothing.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and SpeakUpOrElse.com.
Hi, this is Montel Williams for the Humane Society of the United States. They're playful and affectionate, aloof and mysterious. They're also the most frequent occupants of America's animal shelters, where millions end up each year. They're cats, America's most popular pets, but also the pet most likely to die prematurely from disease, poison, animal abuse, and collision with vehicles because many people let their cats roam freely. To protect your cats from harm, please keep them indoors. A safe cat is a happy cat.
Yeah, and your cat better be indoors today because it's a snowpocalypse, as we've heard. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. No need to go anywhere. It's time for Off the Wall. Okay. It would be time for Off the Wall if I press the right button. Why didn't that work? Oh, my mistake. I'm sorry. Let's try that again. It's 6:01, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's Off the Wall time. good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you tonight. Joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes.
And we survived. We made it through this storm of the century. The second one this year, I think.
I know. Isn't it nice, though? It didn't end up being as cold. It's a wet snow. That's what I would call it.
It's a wet, thick snow. There are different words for snow. We don't know any of them except for the ones that's called snow. But there's so many different kinds. But I have to say, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed because of all the forecasts saying that it was going to be 2-3 feet. People are going to be immobilized, and you know, we're making all these plans to get over here by hook or by crook because the radio must continue. And we were just able to drive over like normal. And everything's closed because everybody was planning on the Armageddon coming. And, well, it was windy. I'll say that. It was windy and cold and blustery, and it's a good day to be indoors. I'm not saying people should run outside and start frolicking, although it's not the worst thing you could do. But there's not a lot that's open, and the roads are going to be very treacherous because what happens is when it gets freezing, the ice arrives, and then you slide.
Yeah, the evening temperatures are going to be very low. They're going down, so that compounds the treacherous conditions. So you also feel quiet or disquiet. Well, maybe both, but it'll be sort of a solitary experience out there. There is not much. People are staying put and, I guess, weathering it.
Although some people might like that. They might like the solitary-type feel. This is an educational radio station, so when we explain things, when we say things, we have to explain. The temperature goes down, water freezes, gets slippery. Why is that? Okay, I want to know what the point of that is. I can understand nature saying, okay, we're going to freeze water when it gets to be a certain temperature, but why does that have to be slippery? Who benefits from that? You know, everything in nature serves a purpose. I just don't get what the slipperiness does.
You've got me.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of different ways you could approach answering that, but it's a physical property of it. I think the water melting is your sensation of touch when it slides on melting. But I guess this is already melting because we're above freezing.
Water has melted already, Kyle.
Right, but
that's
then
why
it'll become solid again.
Yes, and it's ice. But why does ice have to be slippery? I think, you know, the only people it serves, the only entities I think of, are meteorologists who like to play those videos of people slipping and sliding on the streets to take attention away from the fact that they got the forecast wrong. You know, here's somebody falling with shopping bags and nobody's helping them, but isn't that funny? And, ducks and geese, they don't care if it's slippery. They're just going to walk on it, you know. I don't know. I'm sure there's a reason for it. If somebody has the answer, please write to us, otw@2600.com. Let us know, please, because we're dying of curiosity here. That's what we do.
Yeah, it's something about the property of it. It's a uniform surface that is of a certain density.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why you can ice skate on it on a skate.
Okay, ice skating.
Right,
all right,
right.
All right.
And then that makes it slippery.
So hockey is made possible by this,
mm-hmm.
And curling is on ice, right? You know,
yes.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah,
is curling on ice?
That's all about.
I've never run onto a curling field, court. What do they call those? I didn't even know that. We're from the United States, not Canada. We don't know these things. But
track?
It looks they got the little tea kettle things and
the kettles,
yeah, and they brush
and
you know with a broom polish, and someone says hurry in the stands, and I don't even know what any of it means or what they're trying to
pull.
It's crazy,
pull.
but I think it's ice,
right?
But they don't have skates, right? They got like some kind of
one way slick shoes.
Well, why can't I wear those around town? That sounds like a great idea.
Wait a minute. We need curling shoes.
We need a curling team is what we need.
Oh, that would be sweet.
The Stony Brook Curlers. Because no one else took it yet, so why not?
And then they could teach walking on slippery surface safely as a...
I hereby decree Stony Brook Curlers as the champions because nobody else has come forward to play us.
Hmm.
And our team, you're...
What have they done to reach that champion status,
Okay, we're co-captains, first of all.
Right.
Let's see. Finn, he can play... I don't even know what the positions are in curling. He can play the main tea kettle brusher.
Yeah, the planner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We're not mocking the game. We're mocking ourselves because we don't know how it works. I mean, it's nothing compared to cricket, but it's still something that we're not familiar with. And
We can make up more rules that way.
Yeah, but as far as I know, it's kind of like shuffleboard, except on ice mm-hmm. or icy. Yeah. Why don't hockey players wear those special shoes instead of skates? You know?
They can't turn on as sharp a curve,
all right,
maybe.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. And with all that gear on, it makes it need special properties.
All right, so if ice wasn't slippery, hockey wouldn't be as fast-paced and curling wouldn't work well. That's pretty much all I can think of, though. There's probably a couple other slippery things you need to do, but
those are strong arguments for it, though.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, stay off the roads tonight, folks, because they will be slippery. We're not sure exactly why, but they will be, and you don't want to be any part of that. And bring your animals inside too, if you have animals. Well, maybe not, you know, goats and cows and things. I don't. People out east listen to us as well. They have their own facilities, barns and things like that. Just make sure that they're, you know, acting intelligently and not
have access to their shelter.
Yeah, although there are animals that are outside now. You know, we were looking out on the water earlier, and there's a swan. The waves are unbelievable because really high winds today. But there's just a swan sitting there bouncing up and down. And I mean, what's he doing? Is he sleeping? Is he hunting? Is he just, you know, meditating? Isn't there something better he could be doing than being cast about like an abandoned boat?
It does. It reminds me of shipwrecks or something. But they're out there, not shipwrecks. They're navigating, and yeah, they're seafaring birds.
Uh huh.
Seabirds.
Well, they're not really faring. They're just sitting. They're sea sitting birds. They don't. I mean, I've seen a swan fly maybe twice in my life, but they don't move around all that much. They just kind of hang out together. And but you know, there's other animals out there now. We saw a squirrel on the way over. That was exciting.
Yeah.
It's you know, a good day for. And this morning, a woodpecker on the side of the house in the middle of a blizzard. You know, there's no day off for a woodpecker. Think about that. They're pretty annoying. And there's hibernating animals too. Chipmunks are hibernating right now.
I saw a chipmunk recently.
In the winter?
Yeah, I think it was just taking a break or...
Really?
Yeah, just had to run an errand or something.
Well, there aren't many of them around on Long Island, but the ones that do exist, most of them, except for the one you saw probably, are asleep now, buried, you know, somewhere. And coming out in the spring. And squirrels do not. I always thought squirrels did, but they don't. And we saw raccoons walking around, too, so apparently they don't hibernate, even though they're related to bears who do hibernate, but we don't have bears on Long Island for some reason, even though they have them in New Jersey. Wolves, we don't have wolves either, or coyotes yet, but we're getting coyotes.
There's fox.
There's fox. Do fox hibernate? I don't know. I don't think they do.
Wow. Yeah, I kind of could see them as a hibernating animal, but I don't know that.
Yeah, they have all this fur, so why do they need to hibernate?
There are distinctions, though. I mean, there's some that are and are not, and they may have variations within their hibernating style, so to speak.
There aren't many animals that are hibernating right now. Well, bees, if you want to count them as animals, they're
you
hibernating.
Said bees, they, yeah.
They
I
hibernate.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, they do. You don't see any flying around now, do
yeah,
you?
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
All right. So if you're allergic to bee stings, this is a good time for you to be outside. All right, I think the nature part of the program is over. And also this programming note, we were supposed to have a lacrosse game preempt us at 6:45 p.m. tonight. That will not be happening. That will not be happening because one of the effects of a blizzard is the cancellation of lacrosse games that are outside. So I'm not sure when they're rescheduling that, but it also means that Finn will be coming on at 7 o'clock. Something that was not planned
always
for.
Good to have Finn.
Always
and,
good.
And the more time we spend talking about him, the sooner he'll come. So I wanted you to do something. I told you, but I didn't tell you what it was. Now's the
time.
Oh,
this is a surprise.
Yeah.
You mentioned this to me a couple of days ago. You said, there's something I want you to know about, but I don't want to spoil a surprise. I said, look, if you tell me what it is, obviously I'm going to know what it is. I'll spoil the surprise. All I ask is, you know, I like surprises. Tell me when that moment arrives so that I don't wake up 10 years from now and say, I wonder what that thing Kyle was going to tell me was that he never told
me. It's not so much
so now,
tell
okay, the
you.
Moment has arrived. You. How much, whatever, throw something at me. I don't
want
know.
You to do something and then imagine something.
Do something and then imagine something.
Yeah, close your eyes.
I can do that.
Close your eyes, Emmanuel. No, I wanted to say it like that.
All right, but this is really kind of
scary.
Should
I say it one
I don't
more time?
No, I don't think I've ever done radio. I'm talking to a microphone now with my eyes closed. That is a weird experience, folks.
If
you're on the radio, and this is only for radio people, apparently, because they're the ones with microphones, close your eyes.
Mm.
And I can sense, even though my eyes are closed, that the lights have come down.
I would say our listeners will have noticed that the lights are dim now.
How would the listeners know that?
We have smart listeners.
All right. My eyes are still closed. I know
mine are too. I'm going to confess.
Okay, no, hold on. FCC regulations require that somebody's eyes be open in the studio.
Look, we're running this board with no hands.
Well, we have no. I mean, I'm using my hands to gesticulate, and I can't see the microphone, so okay. I just whacked it with my
hand. Let's get this over with, so that we don't have to continue operating without visual.
Ow! I just banged my knee. Oh,
that's not what I want you.
Deteriorating quickly.
No, I wanted you to imagine what it would take, and it doesn't take much. Imagine you're in the old studio right now. You can see it. Where are... No! E! This... You ruined it. You ruined the whole
thing. Where am I?
Snoring.
I just woke up. I didn't open my eyes, though, for some reason.
The old studio. Imagine it.
We're in the old studio again?
Yeah.
Where nothing worked?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember
but you can
how
see
we
it. You can see the whole thing.
We complained about that all the time. Those were good days.
I'm guest this time, you know, and I'm over by the
Hold on a second.
You're running the old board.
Slow down. Steady now. Hold on. First of all, I almost dropped all my papers because they're in my lab and my eyes are closed. Okay, so what you're saying is you want me to keep my eyes closed and imagine myself back in the old studio.
Yeah, because
can I just say
that memory is fresh.
How cool that is. But I just want people to appreciate this for a second. When you close your eyes and imagine something, how are you seeing it? You are seeing it. Like Kyle is suggesting I'm in that room right now and I'm seeing all the components.
You know where the foam in the corner was ripped a little bit?
Yeah, totally.
And you could see somebody used glue and wrote their name when they were putting the glue on the back of the foam, and so it was like Jeff or something with glue, and then like all the dried foam that when it got ripped off was there. I mean,
you might be planting a memory in my head, but I can believe that was there. I remember the foam.
But all the little details of the console, the
someone
old...
Someone left a CD on the cabinet feel. Without a sleeve. That really annoys me because that's how they get dirty.
Yeah.
Can we leave this place, or are we stuck
okay,
here?
Okay. You know what? Open your eyes now.
Ow! Oh, was that the surprise that it really hurts when you turn the lights on?
Oh, yeah. I've raised the lights again.
I can see the inside of my retina. This is... Ooh, okay.
Well, I just wanted you to have that experience just for a second.
You wanted me to close my eyes and imagine myself back in the old studio so I could open them and be blinded when you turn the lights on again. And share that with the listeners. Okay. Am I supposed to see something in here? Did you play something that's going to startle me? That's a surprise?
Oh, no. The gift is that magical... never mind. We haven't even walked by the place.
I have an exercise for you, Kyle. Close your eyes.
What? No. Oh, no.
Close your eyes. I'm just rolling up this piece of paper because it's more convenient for me to hold it that way. But
all right, read the first story.
Close your eyes.
No, that's fine. Ow!
No, I haven't even touched you yet. I'm just getting it nice and firm. Imagine yourself on the edge of a cliff.
Read the first story.
Yeah. Read the first story. No, we don't plan things like
Back
this.
Back to the future. You know, you got your papers. You almost dropped. I
want to talk more about the Texas Central Railway because we sort of brought that up at the end of the last show, and we only had like 10 seconds to cover it because we covered all these other things.
Well, I'm glad we reminisced.
We will cover it was nice to do that. Thank you for the trip down memory lane. We'll talk about some other things as well because there are other things to talk about. But I want
the gift, honestly, is everything works here.
Everything does work here.
We are having a conversation. I'm very comfortable and I'm quite happy to hear about this. So, yes, let's spend a little more time on this.
When I whacked the microphone like that, I noticed that I loosened it. Nice. And now it's hanging in a very precarious way.
I'm very happy with mine.
And I also dripped my soda into the board. It looks like, oh, wow, look at that. That settles in nicely, doesn't it?
Well, take it away.
And my sandwich. Somehow that disassembled.
That's hard salami, is it?
It is hard salami, and it's hot salami because it's sort of fused in to the components in the back. But you know what? We can let Finn deal with that later.
Okay.
But the Texas Central Railway, you mentioned this. You told me about this. This is a private company that's actually planning high-speed rail between Dallas and Houston. These are two cities I would never ever – well, okay, I don't want to be too nasty here. But there was no reason – that I can think of that I would ever want to go to either one of them. I've been to both. No, I've never been to Houston. I've been to Dallas, but I've never been to Houston. I've been to San Antonio, which is in that direction, but no, I've never been to Houston. I would go to both just to ride the train, just to do the high-speed rail, 200 miles an hour. Wow, how cool would that be? And that is the key, the fact that you set up cities that are connected by high-speed rail and people want to make those journeys and travel to those places because they can, because it makes it more interesting. Sit by the window and watch the scenery go by. So this is something that they actually are saying could happen in 2020. They could actually do this through private enterprise, through using rights of way and various other existing routes going parallel to U.S. Route 290. I think this is great. Did you have any other thoughts on it?
No, I had the same reaction,
mm-hmm.
for one thing, but I really just wanted to talk about or be able to reference one that it was actually working, because this is true high speed, and the rolling stock is fantastically high technology and does something we deserve as a country, and it's been demonstrated in so many other parts of the world, and as you said, you demonstrate this capability somewhere, people will want to come and see your demonstration,
mm-hmm.
And that interconnectedness makes it kind of an interesting part of whatever kind of journey people are planning, and it does so much for the local community and people, regardless of politics or partisan ideas or filters on some of these issues, whether it's social impact or the financial side, it's bringing people together. And I want to be able to come back and share about something that works, something that's been done right, so that people in this community, people that also see it, bring it back to their community and speed up all this stuff, because this is the kind of thing that does actual good as far as jobs and services and products and stuff to support it, to say nothing of the ability. Like, think of how much that would change your lifestyle if you could quickly get to other parts of our own country.
Yes.
You
can by plane.
No. That's the argument, but mm-hmm. It's not at all equal. It's not the same thing, because the way you travel by plane now, I know there are people that are like powered, super travelers and everything, but realistically, it's enduring. It's an endurance event. It's definitely an event for most average people, but it's not like getting on a subway in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's true, yes.
Which is an everyday thing you could get on several times during one day. Mm-hmm. And so that's what this kind of infrastructure does as far as travel times. Read the travel times on that. It's like many, many different trips, every 30 minutes or something. I mean, we were talking about stuff in Seattle that was just really slow, like four trips a day. And, that's just barely, they wonder why they're not making any money. They're not running trains at all.
Yes.
And of course, things like electrification and stuff that's actually built with an eye for maintaining instead of stuff that sort of is susceptible to planned obsolescence and and falls apart, which is what you know everybody's kind of talking about when it comes to infrastructure now. We don't want that kind of stuff. We want stuff that's going to last, and that's all part of it. So,
mm-hmm. Well, hopefully, this is just one of many. How did you find this in the first place?
Wikipedia.
But yeah, but you had to look up Texas Central Railway, which is something I wouldn't have looked up.
Honestly, I was re-looking up the new buses and subway cars, and I got distracted by this because I was looking up rolling stock and high speed rail.
Going through puberty there, Kyle?
Yeah. All right. You want fries with that?
No, I don't want fries with that. Why do you keep asking?
But yes, well, no, it was maybe so. Uh-huh. Great story. Love the trains.
Well, look, the thing that gets me about this is that it could be running by 2020. That's 3 years from now.
Really quick. And speeding up infrastructure like this, I mean, we've seen bridges go up very quickly. There's something psychologically I think that does. Even when people are detoured and going through traffic, slowly, they see something being built. They see old things being retrofitted. And intelligent uses of existing and space or existing infrastructure and improvements that make sense that really allow people to be people, be right. Better people, be more active. And I'm really excited for people who are inspired to move quickly to create things in their communities, in their lives.
Well, I mean, this is kind of like what we're seeing with space. Also,
yes.
Private enterprise moving things forward in quicker ways than the old-fashioned methods.
It could be quicker and bigger.
Mm-hmm. And there are many instances where that could be the case. It doesn't mean that you you're saying government has no place or that everything is better run by private enterprise because mm-hmm. Look, private enterprise is about profit. It's about answering to shareholders, not answering to the public. For things that are essential to the public, such as transportation and health and things like that, you need some kind of government oversight. You do need to have some kind of regulation so that things are done fairly. But sometimes things do move faster when you have private enterprise spearheading it. And I think high-speed rail and space are two examples of that.
Or hybridizations of those things,
right.
Where there's layers of those things and you have a mix of that.
But the thing is, once they are running, there are certain, like for instance, if this Texas Central Railway happens, they have to abide by safety rules. They can't mm-hmm. cut corners and make things that are death traps. And government oversight is what tells you this is acceptable, this is not acceptable. So I think there's a good combination there. It doesn't always have to hurt us to have private enterprise taking the initiative. And there are certain ways where it most definitely will hurt us if we don't have oversight, such as in healthcare.
Yeah, and cross state and regional alliances. Would be really important for timing mm-hmm. when you have higher frequency of train travel, more cars per day going from many areas, transporting a lot of people. That coordination is important, and working better and in more cooperative and imaginative ways mm-hmm. Become critical. And as a result, kind of bring people together anyway. You're making the place smaller and. But also sharing the bigness of our country as well.
So now I did bring up healthcare. What do you think of what's been announced so far? Because the Republicans did put forth their plan, and I'm hearing all kinds of pushback from all angles, which is great. It concerns me that a lot of the we talked about this a little bit last week. A lot of the negative response is focused on the fact that it doesn't repeal Obamacare enough. It doesn't take away health care hard enough to the people that really need it, even though it's been forecast that 25 million people will eventually lose their insurance as a result of Trump Care. And yeah, we're calling it Trump Care because that's you put your name on something like this. It's the real issue here. That people are losing, we'll be losing health care, we'll be paying more, we'll be having less covered as a result of these proposed changes. Not that it needs to be slashed even more and people need to get even less, I think that's insane, but it is opposition. If it makes this go down in flames, then by all means, go for it. But when the next one comes along, that's even harsher. I just hope that we're even louder with our opposition on humanitarian grounds. But anything stand out to you as far as what they've revealed so far about it?
Well, I noticed a lot of being told I'm being freed by doing this, and there's a lot of that kind of rhetoric, and I think that being talked down to that way
you have
kind
no
of
choice,
ridiculous.
Kyle. You have no choice. But
it's
right
ridiculous.
Now they're freeing you because you have been basically
a
pushed
lot
it,
of people. You just
pushed
said a
into
lot.
A corner. You have no choice, and this gives you a choice.
A lot of people are going to be hurt, is what you just said, mm-hmm. by this, and the rates going up a lot are going to also affect a lot of people, and the choices. I mean, the choices from the insurers are not. There's no indication that's going to be that much better. So, or that they're going to be comprehensive or anything. I mean, there's certain things that are staying the same, and this is sort of a foreshadowing, I think, for additional things they're going to try to do to this industry and this part of people's lives.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you predict? You
think we got to watch it, though. You know, I think we got to stay vigilant and pay attention. But what do I think? Predictions for... I think the Democrats could definitely come up with something better as far as... telling the Republicans what they're willing to do and not do. We need to continue to have strong representation so that these things don't get swept in without our consent. It feels like it's being co-opted, like the health care plan, the ACA,
the Affordable Care Act,
yes, is being taken away without people really getting an opportunity. I mean, there's been so much pushback I don't know. People detest how it's. I saw Lindsey Graham's town hall. People were just screaming. I mean, they're so upset at him. And he's like, so cavalier about it, saying the one quote was that, you know, okay, how many of you like single payer? Well, okay, don't vote for me because
he's not running, so it's kind of late for that, isn't it?
I don't know. It was something. I guess re-election.
So the people who were yelling at him were opposed to what he did, right? Opposed to
his characterization. I mean, he's going out there like spinning the whole thing, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of people there. So that's equal representation, a little bit of the Trump side, but uh-huh. no one there. There was no love for him speaking there, and he just plowed through and got a lot of questions wrong. And I thought it was laudable for the people that show up, and I think we'll see a lot of that continuing, but more leadership from the Democrats, more resistance to having this ACA manipulated without people really being able to stand for the ways that it helps them.
Well, I mean, there's something that we really need to realize, and that's that we do have a voice. We do have a way of being heard. We're constantly told that we don't. We're constantly being shut down. The most important thing is that we don't do it to ourselves. If your representatives or senators refuse to have meetings of any sort to let people be heard, then you make yourself heard in
call
other
them,
ways.
Fax them, email.
Yeah, sure. Or show up at their offices.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if they tell you not to do that, show up at their houses.
Uh-huh.
Because they are invading your private lives.
And
there's no reason you shouldn't be able to do the same thing if they are not doing their job. And if it's too much for them, they should quit and let somebody else do it who is responsive to the needs of the people. It's time to get loud. It's time to get confrontational. We're not doing that enough. I'm seeing too much politeness. You know, the Nancy Pelosi type way of dealing with things.
Conciliatory tones being demanded from everyone.
Yeah, and, the time for conciliatoriness is over. You know, it's time to push back and be loud and, you know, be insistent upon things. You know, there are demonstrations and rallies and vigils happening all the time. Half of them, even though I am looking for them, I don't find out about till after they're over. You know, there was a perfect example. We had a day without a woman. I think that was last Thursday. No, it was last Wednesday, the International Women's Day.
That was a week or two after the day without the immigrants.
Yeah, but the point is, if we can stick to one thing, mm-hmm. the point is that we had this these gatherings, and I knew there was one happening in Port Jefferson. You know, I heard about it, and I was looking everywhere. What time? And searching very specific, you know, information, you know, International Women's Day, Port Jefferson, everywhere, could not find a bit of detail about it other than the one mention I saw. And sure enough, at a particular time, a bunch of people showed up and had a rally right by the Statue of the Eagle in Port Jefferson. And it was great. But you know what? They could have had 10 times as many people if they shared the secret, if they let people know when it was happening, if they were loud about it. And you know, we don't do this enough. We have our rallies, we have our gatherings, we have our petitions and everything like that, but we keep it to a particular group of people, and we don't try and get even more to show up. Yeah, you'll get people who oppose you as well. That's part of the whole process. You should not be afraid of that. You know, there was a rally in D.C., what was it, last Friday, about the pipeline, one of my sore points.
Yeah. The DAPL, Dakota Access, Lakota people, and people involved in other movements, also people fighting against the Keystone and many other indigenous people in the country mm-hmm. showed up in Washington, but it was very, very small from what I saw.
Too little, too late.
Yeah, very too little, too late. And the way you might interpret it, if you and that we're ignorant, we need to educate ourselves and be diplomats for our causes, for why we're there, and share with one another, and really have strong steps that we're laying out, and it's that we can get people excited about. And I think, you know, one of the moments I was listening to beautiful music and I was like, you know, there's probably a lot of people that would be critical of this because they don't know much about the culture. They don't hear this as beautiful and the rhythm. They might just see people screaming because the drums are not there or something, you know, and think it's silly. And we need to share more of our cultures and celebrate them mm-hmm. and you know, the only place I saw it was like C-SPAN or something, you know, on cable.
There
we gotta hear
about
it.
No coverage, but you know, this was a lost opportunity. And you know, I'm not one to tell people how they should run their own movements. I'm just saying that the Dakota Access controversy was huge last year. There were tens of thousands of people gathering at this place. There were all sorts of potential actions that were going to happen. And of course, winter in North Dakota is nothing to take lightly, and people's safety had to be dealt with, certainly at that particular site. But there was no reason to back off as much as the protesters and the organizers did. And when Obama's rulings or opinions were overridden, as we knew they would be with Donald Trump, not enough was done to fight back. Oh, well, fight in the courts. You know you're going to lose in the courts. You know that's going to happen. They lost in the courts. Let's have a rally and sing some songs in D.C. And oil will be flowing next week.
It shouldn't feel like a reunion.
Yeah.
We need to know where this is going to be on the ground next.
I'm not saying I have the answers as to exactly how it should be done right, but I know that wasn't the way to do it. That was not the way to force the issue. If you want it all to be resolved and everybody goes home peacefully, okay, that's what you get, but you're also going to get the oil, you know, and the oil will leak someday and pollute the water. And that's what we were trying to keep from happening. So I just don't want to see this happen time and time again because we're polite and civilized and, don't want to force issues. It's going to be unpleasant. We knew this in November that we had signed on to something that is going to be long and hard and a lot of work. We can't back away from that. We just can't. There are sacrifices we're all going to have to make.
Yeah, we can't back away with disillusionment disenfranchisement, because when you get that many people together, you don't want them to walk away and be saying like, okay, well, this went five different ways. I'm going to pick what way's right for me, and it'll continue on in its various forms. Well, okay, but was that the plan all along, or is that just what we're settling for?
Yeah, yeah.
And settling and settling and settling and continuing to have more and more grievances.
There are so many people out there, so many people out there who want to get involved, who want to do things. They're just waiting for the signal. They're just waiting to hear, what do I do now? You know, it's vastly important that we not forget that and minimize any of these issues or feel that we don't have the support necessary, or just buy into, oh, look what's happening to us. We're losing yet again. This is going to spell calamity for the earth and for our future generations. It doesn't have to. You know, the planet is bigger than any of us. And that goes for our leaders as well as our citizens. So the decisions and the actions that are happening right now that we're fighting, those are affecting untold billions throughout the planet, as well as future generations and every organism that exists. And they don't have the right to make those decisions. They do not. So let's try to keep that in mind. Let's try and share the word about what's happening and get as many people as possible and be as loud and obnoxious as we have to be to get the point across. Okay, we have some listener mail that I'd like to get to. Actually, this is kind of on topic. Brill writes in to try and explain the... remember we were talking about Mike Pence's email addresses and how they all have the...
His, magic Christian number or something?
What was the number again? Do you remember?
1314.
1314, yeah. They all had 1314.
1314.
Okay, well, Brill says, I love the angel number explanation, which is what we read last week.
Angel number.
But it seemed really obvious to me that 1314, which is January 3rd, 2014, was a reference to a date in the rather silly American date format. No offense, date should only ever be in the year, month, day format. Why would I be offended by that? That makes sense.
I like them all.
It sorts better, you know. Excuse me. Computer
for different
files.
Reasons. I like them all, but definitely you like that. You want the year first in databases and organizing
it makes,
them. Computers.
It makes absolutely no sense. Brill, while I appreciate your theory here, the fact of the matter is that Pence was sworn in as governor of Indiana on January 14th. 2013. So his number should be 11413. And his number is 1314. So, it's a nice try, but the date has no relevance. So what happened to the Pences? Because both his wife and he had the same 1314 in their email addresses, which they're very angry about their email addresses being released. Yeah, that doesn't match. It doesn't match that significant date. So January 3rd, 2014, what happened to them then? And I'm not finding anything. So let's keep the search on, find out what 1314 means. Abril also adds, we were talking about swans. Actually,
yes,
we were talking about swans earlier this show, but waterfowl,
yeah, in
general. Yeah, we talked about them earlier as well.
Yes.
And Abril says, I've heard that all swans in England belong to the Queen of England. It's apparently illegal to kill and eat a swan over there. Where Brill is from, actually.
There's one type that is the kind that I think the queen claims. So
No, I think she claims them all.
No, there are several species, though, and I don't think she claims all the species.
Okay, well, we'll have to check into
that. I don't
that.
Know that.
Yeah.
But it's possible that, there's... I forget the
exact the name of the species. So
there's a black swan.
It's not really worth mentioning, but I did mention it.
All right, the black swan, which you don't get around here.
There are, yes, there are black swans.
I think she owns them.
Does she? Okay. Yeah. All right.
But I mean, how does she own all the swans in England?
I can't remember.
How does she own all the swans in England? How is that even possible? How do you do that? You know?
I don't know. I think there's some royal history to this that this particular swan was a gift, or one way or another is often a gift. Maybe that's the Canadian story, or Victorian swans. I don't know which ones. But anyway, there are swans in the UK, I think, that the Queen definitely helped with, or sanctioned, or, I don't know, stamps. Maybe she puts a stamp,
well,
or a
quite,
bow.
It's possible that Scottish swans might be separating from the English swans if this referendum goes through. Because with Brexit and all, you know, Scotland had just had this referendum where they voted, I think, by about a 10% margin to remain in the UK.
The swans?
No, Scotland.
Okay.
And to stay with England.
Right.
And basically, right after that, Brexit happened. And the Scots are opposed to Brexit by something like 35%. So now they're saying, you know what, let's do this referendum thing again. Now that we know what we know, now that this, you know, this little maneuver has happened, let's see if we want to stay with you guys now, or if we want to just head into the EU by ourselves. Of course, they have to also talk to the EU about that. I'm not sure how they feel. But that's going to be very interesting if they have that referendum. I'm pretty sure they will vote to separate.
Completely.
And then you have the coolest country in Europe.
It will be a cool country.
Yeah. Imagine a whole country.
I've been to Scotland.
Nothing. Have you?
Yeah.
Okay. Not with me.
No.
Okay.
When I was a wee lad.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, good. Good. Good to hear. And Chaz writes, Mount Trashmore, because apparently we were talking about Mount Trashmore at some point, used to be a dumping site and has been turned into a park. And there's a Wikipedia link about Mount Trashmore Park.
Mount Trashmore Park. Why? At least change the name. Why would you name it Trash?
You're going to make me go to the site, aren't you? Okay, I'll go to the site. I'm sure they'll explain why it's called that.
If it's been a mountain of garbage, people will know. Even if you change the name.
That's
But whatever,
true.
Fine. No, you know what? I like it. Fine, just trash
more. I'm already halfway to the page.
And then it denigrates Mount Rushmore.
Uh-huh.
That's so cold.
It's a city park located in Virginia Beach, Virginia, opened in 1974.
Okay.
Mount Trashmore is an example of landfill reuse, as its creation consisted of the conversion of an abandoned landfill into a park.
Yes.
Hence, Mount Trashmore.
Geoengineering and all.
Park is open until sunset. Opens at 7:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And in warm weather, the area does still occasionally smell of garbage. So there you go. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Chaz, for that little bit of information. What else? What else has been happening? Oh, Dutch elections tomorrow.
Geert Wilders.
Okay. Now,
Wilders.
Kyle's okay. Sounds like he's got a hairball or something, but no. We have many Dutch listeners, and you're basically mocking their language.
I'm just trying to pronounce it
right. It's the guy's name.
Geert Wilders.
Yeah, he's a Nazi, fine, but it is his name, so make fun of what the guy does.
You gotta do it a couple times, then you get in the mode, but...
Well,
he's like there, Donald Trump.
Look, this is disturbing.
It's really messed up. But
there's a Donald Trump, apparently. All countries seem to have one. And they're all winning. You know? Where does this end?
It's mind-boggling. But it is, it's what we're facing. That's the facts on the ground. When you listen to their like, sort of delusional rationales and stuff, I almost start wanting to, you know, it's like QVC or something. You almost are like, oh, wow, that's I like what they're selling. Wait, whoa, what? Because what they're doing is all of this, like I had said earlier, talking down in the
healthcare stuff about being freed from the tyranny of government helping people who need help or preserving, you know, what coverage they have. It's the same kind of like, well, you know, they don't like what is Dutch and they don't, we're confused, you know, you come here, you must have liberty shoved everywhere and all over you, smothered in liberty, liberty sandwiches and all of that. It just, it's strange, because then there's these glimmers of, oh yeah, they're really, they're creating double standards, or they're, I don't want to say, well, no, I do, racist, straight up, fascist, you know, messed up, and they are making it so candy-coated that people, I'm afraid, I don't know this, because I'm not an expert about anything at the moment, but that people are buying it. So.
Well, people are buying it, I think, because of all the fear and hatred that they've been fed. And right now, you know, it's fear and hatred against Muslims.
And they don't have enough hobbies.
Well, I guess not. Well, but
I don't know.
Earlier
xenophobia
today.
Yeah.
Just earlier today, the European court said it's okay for businesses to forbid headscarves.
Yes.
And, you know, that's incredibly messed up, because I don't think anyone is out there saying you're not allowed to wear a yarmulke. I don't think anyone's saying you can't have a cross on a chain around your neck.
I was thinking about that.
It's not saying, you know, we have to stop for a call to prayer or have a church inside our place of business. It's basically, this is who this person is. It's like wearing a Mets cap or something. Okay, maybe that's not in the dress code. I don't know. But the point is, religion is huge to people. I'm not religious, but I know this. I know that religion matters. And to tell somebody, you're not allowed to share with anyone through how you dress something about who you are, it's incredibly insulting. But let's just call it what it is. It's anti-Islam, because that is what spurred it. It wasn't spurred by you know, Protestants walking around showing religious headdress or anything like that, or Jews or Catholics. It was fear of Islam, and we are seeing so much of that. And that is what is driving this right wing Dutch monster, who they say is going to I don't know if he's going to win. Or just win a lot of influence.
Is on track, I mean, yeah. Is what they're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're basically looking at somebody who wants to leave the EU.
Yep.
You know, yet another anti-EU person. Someone who's very anti-Islam. He basically called Islam a totalitarian ideology. He actually was found guilty of hate speech against Muslims. That's a bee in his bonnet, I guess. And we're just seeing more and more of this. So, yeah, we can look at our own country and see what's messed up.
Isn't he like going to hiding too? He was like,
but there's so much in other countries that is also messed up.
Yeah, it's going around.
Yes,
everybody is at fault and guilty and
yes.
makes mistakes sometimes.
All right, you know what? We're just about out of time. But we'll be watching that election. We suggest you do too. By I think 4 p.m. or so tomorrow, we'll know. We'll know the results of this, and it's another step in a potential direction that we don't really want to go in. But
well, who knows? Maybe the people of the Netherlands will set a tone and change the tides of this slow march.
We can only hope so. I want to start end with another letter that somebody sent us, because they sent us a suggestion for a song as well. And this is from Thomas. He says, when anyone makes even a minor reference to Newfoundland or Labrador, as happened in the February 28th episode, I share this song and picture, which we can't share the picture, unfortunately. He says, you cannot fault me for this. And we are not faulting you for this, Thomas, for sharing this information. But basically, he sent us a song called The Islander, which is actually by... a band called The Navigators. Believe it or not, Thomas, I already had this song, because when I went to Newfoundland, I gathered a bunch of of their music, and I have a couple of albums by the Navigators. And this very song, which is called The Islander, it's about the island of Newfoundland. It was also put out by a band called Shanignac. I'm not sure who put it out first. I can't find that information anywhere. But there's other bands there, Great Big Sea, Figgy Duff, that I've also listened to. And the music of Newfoundland is kind of like, kind of Celtic, but different in a strange way.
It's like bluegrass, but no banjos.
Yeah, you could say
a lot of fiddles.
I guess you could say that. But, you know, foot stomping sea shanty type things.
Definitely. No, it's got such spirit. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got a warmth to it. It's great.
And it's something you probably never heard around here as well. So, yeah, you know, we should play this. But I also want to point out it's a song about the pride of Newfoundland. But there's a section in it where they mention Labrador because it's one province, Labrador and Newfoundland. Or is it Newfoundland and Labrador? I'm not sure which comes first. But there's a border dispute between Quebec and Labrador. It's gone on since, I think, 1800 or so. And there's a line in there about how we're prepared to defend Newfoundland against those people in Montreal. But the thing is, it's not an island then because Labrador is on the mainland. So I get very confused by that. You know, Newfoundland obviously is an island, but Labrador is pretty much attached to the rest of Canada. It's kind of different. I'm not saying it's part of Quebec or Montreal has any claim to it, but... I don't know, I just think maybe it should have been a different song for that. And the song also ends with a warning about oil and how drilling for oil could destroy the fisheries and things like that. And there's a lot in here. It's only about 3 minutes long.
There are other ways. There are other ways.
So many other ways. You can write to us too, otw@2600.com. And for those of you tuning in for lacrosse, sorry to disappoint you, but Finn is coming up next. And you won't be disappointed by anything you hear this next 2 hours. We'll be back again next week, and hopefully there won't be a blizzard this time. And now, the sounds of Newfoundland. Good night.
I'm a Newfoundlander, born and bred, and I'll be one till I die. I'm proud to be an islander, and here's the reasons why. I'm free as the wind and the waves wash the sands. There's no place I would rather be than here in Newfoundland. I spent some time in New York State and nearly lost my mind. The city life's too fast for me, nobody had the time. Cement and steel and flashing lights was all that I could see. It may be good for New York State, but it's no damn good for me. I'm a Newfoundlander, born and bred, and I'll be one till I die. I'm proud to be an islander, and here's the reasons why. I'm free as the wind and the waves wash the sands. There's no place I would rather be than here in Newfoundland. Now in Montreal, the Frenchmen say that they own Labrador, including Indian Harbor where my father fished before. And if they want to fight for her, well, I'll surely make a stand. And they'll regret the day they tried to take our Newfoundland. I'm a Newfoundlander, born and bred, and I'll be one till I die. I'm proud to be an islander, and here's the reasons why. I'm free as the wind and the waves that wash the sands. There's no place I would rather be than here in Newfoundland. Yep! Develop it more carefully or else you're gonna find what could have been the answer to our poor economy has changed our way of living and destroyed our fishery. I'm a Newfoundlander, born and bred, and I'll be one till I die. I'm proud to be an islander, and here's the reasons why. I'm free as the wind and the waves that wash the sands. There's no place I would rather be than here in Newfoundland. I'm a Newfoundlander, born and bred, and I'll be one till I die. I'm proud to be an islander, and here's the reasons why. I'm free as the wind and the waves that wash the sands. There's no place I would rather be than here in Newfoundland. There's no place I would rather be than here. Yeah.
The Prune Belly Syndrome Network is a volunteer organization devoted to patient support and education of the medical community about Prune Belly Syndrome. Our goal is to change the medical profession's perception of Prune Belly as a hopeless condition and to educate and promote an interest among doctors and the medical community in doing further research into the causes of the syndrome and more effective treatments. You can visit www.prunebelly.org for information on how you can help.
Making sure the air in your dream home is healthy for your family to breathe. Building a radon-resistant home is easy. Just ask your builder or go to epa.gov/radon. Make it green, green,
green. A message from the U.S. EPA.
Kids, Finn here, Finn's Revolution until the 9 p.m. hour right here on WUSB Stony Brook. Tonight, we are lucky enough to be listening to the Velvet Underground's first album, The Velvet Underground and Nico, Start to Finish. It's 50 years old this week. It's all about healthcare, baby. Stay tuned. So welcome to Finn's Revolution. Hopefully you have braved the storm, those of you listening in the Northeast.
Hopefully you've done well, dug out. Hopefully you also have off tomorrow. Most of us on Long Island, where we are based, do not have off tomorrow because it was kind of petered out a bit. At a certain point, it became mainly a water event. But I know in New York City, where I live, it was a bit rougher, and everyone's shoveling out, and the streets are pretty clear. However, people are buried, those who have to drive. But that's why you shouldn't own a car, right? That's right. Shouldn't own a car. Anyway, so on Sunday, it was the 50th anniversary of the release of the first Velvet Underground album, which is called The Velvet Underground and Nico. And the band at that time comprised singer-songwriter Lou Reed and John Cale on, and also Lou, guitar player, and John Cale, viola and bass player, and Sterling Morrison on guitar, and Maureen Tucker on drums, and of course, Chantus Nico on vocals as well. And it's a brilliant, brilliant record, and we're going to pay tribute to that record today, as 50 is a pretty nice round number. It's not like it's the 42nd anniversary of its release. And I do play plenty of Velvet Underground on my show, and but, you know, today we're going to run through the first album start to finish. It's not that long, and it's gorgeous and grating and beautiful and all the things that it is. Nothing really had been written like this album was written. These little stories about the seedier side of human existence. So we're going to start off here with a beautiful song. And, of course, all this beauty always belies some dirt, you know? And anyway, let's start off with the first cut. Oh, we're also hearing the mono version tonight because that's the first version I got on vinyl way back on my 8th birthday. It's a long story. Maybe we'll get into it. Maybe not. But here's the lead-off track from the Velvet Underground and Nico, released 50 years and 2 days ago. Right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
Sunday morning brings the dawning. It's just a restless feeling by my side. Just the wasted years so close behind. Watch out, the world's behind you. There's always someone around you who will call. It's nothing at all. It's all the streets you cross, not so long.
sprints from